fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
And here we are, food allergies. Now, we all know or have experienced the usual hay fever and peanut allergies. But did you know that allergies in Australia are actually increasing? I have Dr. Tracy Marcus with me today here in the studio, and she'll be telling us about the importance of understanding allergies, what causes them, their symptoms, treatment and prevention. Welcome very much
Thank you.
RTR. Nice to have you here. So what is the difference between... Let's see, I'm going to start with something left ball for you because that's more fun. What's the difference between an allergy and a food intolerance?
That is a very good question. So thank you again for having me. I think the most important thing is when we think of a food allergy, it's a reaction that we have to a food each and every single time that we eat it. And it's a very predictable reaction that we have that we can then confirm when we do blood tests or skin prick testing, so specialised testing. The problem with a food allergy is that when you do eat the food, it can have quite disastrous consequences, and you can have very significant symptoms of it. So it's important that we know what you're allergic to, and you as a patient, you know what you're allergic to and how to avoid it, what sort of foods it's in, and most importantly, if you do accidentally eat it, because accidents happen, what to do.
So an allergy is a consistent symptom that always happens, and intolerance is inconsistent?
It can be inconsistent, but intolerance usually is as a result of, I guess, it's a non-immune mediated response is what we would call it. So it's a very fancy word, and it's usually to other parts of things. So, for example, when people have problems when they have dairy, for example, you can have a proper allergy to the protein in the dairy, and that can manifest in terms of allergic symptoms, the mild, moderate, or even the severe end, like anaphylaxis, whereas an intolerance is usually to the sugar, to the lactose in it. And that's when people get tummy pains, bloating, explosive diarrhea. And that's usually short-lived, and it's usually something that with time and proper advice can actually go away.
Ah, look at that. So already I've learned things. This is fantastic, which is a nice change for me. So what are the usual... possibly not so usual symptoms of a food allergy?
I think when we think of food allergies, or when we think of allergies in general, every time you eat the food, we worry that you're going to have, obviously, potentially an allergic reaction to those foods that you worry that you're allergic to. So within 30 minutes to half an hour after eating the food, we look out for signs, and they can be mild, moderate, or to severe. So the severe signs are what we know as anaphylaxis, or potentially life-threatening allergic reactions. People can have the difficulty breathing. They can have a hoarse voice, coughing, wheezing. They can feel like there's something stuck in their throat. They can have become dizzy and feel like they're going to pass out, become pale, become floppy, and they can get a hoarse voice as well. In that sort of situation, that's anaphylaxis. Obviously, treatment of that is an emergency because that is potentially life-threatening. Most people, though, don't present with that. Most people present with mild, moderate symptoms. So that's where they get a rash, the hives, that itchy, raised, red, itchy rash. They can get nausea, vomiting, tummy pains, and then they can get swelling on the outside, like swelling on the outside, itchy eyes, swelling of the eyes, face, lips, and other parts of their body.
Okay, so now there seems to be an increase of food allergies or intolerances. Is there a reason for this?
Well, there's definitely a documented increase in food allergy. Absolutely. We know now that 10% of all one-year-olds in Australia actually have food allergy, documented food allergy, and that's massive. We don't know the exact reason for it. There's lots of hypotheses. None of them are completely proven. I think when we're sort of thinking about it, it's a complex, interplay between our genetics, between the environment and how the environment's changing and how we cook the food. So a couple of the hypotheses you may have heard of, the hygiene hypothesis for one. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yes, I think I have. Yeah. Tell me more. Let's see if I've got it right.
No, okay. No. So the hygiene hypothesis, essentially, it's got to do with our immune system. Instead of fighting bugs in the environment, because we have such a clean environment, it's led to an increase in food allergies. It's probably evolved a little bit more, and it's got to do with the type of bugs that currently live inside of us, what we call our microbiome. And we're currently doing a lot of research looking at the type of bugs that live inside of us, inside of the mom, inside of the baby when it's first born, and then obviously in infants and toddlers, and how our environment changes that. So looking at those sorts of things may be one of the the influences.
That's the let them eat dirt theory.
Absolutely. Yeah. 5 second rule rules. Except in the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, no, not in the hospital. My goodness. what are the other theories?
I think they are looking at sort of other causes for allergies. Sometimes the way that even us as the medical profession, sometimes the advice that we've given, we used to say delay the introduction of certain foods, the ones that may cause allergies. And we used to say don't give foods until a certain age. We actually know that to be the exact opposite. We know that early introduction of solids, so 4 to 6 months, particularly of those high-risk foods, prevents allergies. And so it's the exact opposite to what we've told people. Other sorts of things that sort of may be associated with it is also the way that we cook the food. So in our society, in Western societies, we cook the food differently to Eastern societies. Peanuts, for example. We roast peanuts instead of boil peanuts, and that's thought to make them more allergenic as well.
Oh, my goodness. Who would have thunk?
There's lots of thoughts. Again, we don't know. There's lots of research going on to it, but it is definitely increasing.
Ah, interesting. That's what science is for, I guess, so we can think for us, which is kind of handy. So what kind of things are people most often allergic to? We've talked about peanuts, as the usual, shellfish, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the common ones, particularly in the younger children, is probably dairy and eggs. There are other foods are going to be particularly food-related. It's going to be, as you mentioned before, the peanuts, the tree nuts, in terms of fish, shellfish, sesame, wheat, soy. Those are sort of the common foods, but those are pretty staple foods in our diet. So to have an allergy to one of those is quite significant.
Absolutely. I've heard of even people being allergic to meat, but like particularly pork, like a complete allergic reaction to it.
You can. You can actually develop allergies as well. So we're doing a lot more research. So there's some allergies that you'll outgrow, potentially, as you get bigger, and there's some that you don't outgrow. And we know that there's some certain types of allergies that you're more likely to get as you get older. And there's actually some interesting sort of research going on, particularly within Australia, looking at some of those meat allergies that you're sort of describing, and sort of tick bites, and looking at mammalian meat allergies. So there's lots of research going on. It just goes to show you how little we know about the human body.
It's astounding. There's a lot going in there. We walk around with it every day. Who lets us out of the house? Just astounding. And it's not just regular straight food as well as the things that we put in food. I'm not sure if I'm veering left field. E-numbers, some of the preservatives that are in food can be a problem, not just the food.
That can be a problem, more of the intolerances more than anything else, as opposed to a true allergy. So we do know that they can actually have what we call adverse events. For example, MSG can have some adverse events. It doesn't cause usually true allergic type symptoms as such, but it is one of those sorts of things. The other big issue, I guess, that happens is also with the foods, just how we get exposed to the foods. And there's now actually a lot of creams and lotions that are available that have actually got nuts inside of them as well. And so that becomes really important in terms of how we first get exposed to a food. So we've got to be careful from that perspective.
It's everywhere.
It is everywhere.
It's very hard to avoid, and quite, it can be, fatal for some people. So what are the treatments for these allergies?
I think it really depends on what the allergy is. And I think the thing to remember is, in terms of things, while they do exist, there's a lot of anxiety surrounding them, and what we really want to do is decrease the anxiety in society and really demedicalize feeding children. Parents know their children far better than we do. You know your child, listen to your child. And so what we want you to do is to feed your child and not to have to worry about these sorts of things. So that's probably the most important thing, I guess, moving forward. In terms of if you do have a food allergy, you need to know what you're allergic to. You need to be able to identify what sort of foods it is, what sort of foods it might be in, where you go to, when you go to a restaurant, how you can advocate for yourself, and then what to do in the case of an emergency, which means if you do have an EpiPen, you need to know when and how to use it, which means you need to carry it around with you. The problem comes down to, obviously, all of those and in our high-risk populations. So we do know allergies can be fatal. There's a really big high risk, which is at adolescents. Age 15 to 25 is the highest risk of bad things happening, of fatal anaphylaxis. And so that's the age where we really need to target and empower people to really take control and ownership of their allergies.
Because that's pretty much the opposite to most other medical conditions, because that's when we're the halest and the hardiest from 15 to 25, and it's usually young and old. Yeah. But that is the biggest target, the risk group for allergies.
Yeah, so that's one of the biggest, that is one of the biggest age groups for fatal anaphylaxis. And there's lots of reasons, obviously, for that. But one of the most important things is, I guess, looking at why. People don't always know what they're allergic to. They haven't had allergic reactions necessarily. They've got other risk factors in terms of, you know, poorly controlled asthma, risk-taking behaviours. You throw in alcohol and drugs on board, and there's actually a lot of alcohol, for example, that's got peanuts and tree nuts into it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what has got, really, what alcohol has got?
So if you sort of think of some of the brewery beers have actually got peanuts, gin, whiskey. If you think some of the liqueurs, for example, Kahlua is from hazelnuts. They're fantastic and they taste delicious, don't get me wrong. But it's one of those things, if you have an allergy, you need to know exactly what it is.
And I guess that's a difficult age as well, because if you need an EpiPen, you know, like women's clothes, we still don't have pockets. Like, can we just sort that out? You know, you've always got to carry a handbag, or you're doing sport, or you're running around, or you're losing stuff. So, yeah, a very high risk. But what if you're not at the EpiPen type of end of the spectrum of allergies? What if you just, you know, if you're... What do you do if it's just like a swelling of lips or something, that, or a rash? Is there anything you can do to alleviate that? Like, for hay fever, we take antihistamines. What can we do if we're not going to die from this thing, but it's making us uncomfortable?
Well, I think the most important thing really is still to avoid the food, because the problem is we can't predict what that reaction will be. So even if in the past you've only ever had that reaction where you only have had hives or swelling, the next time may or may not be the same. And I think that that's where it comes down to prevention is best in those sort of situations. And so knowing what to do in the case. So most people have an allergy action plan. And if people have been prescribed an EpiPen, they would have had a red action, anaphylaxis action plan, to have that with them, to have the EpiPen, and to know what to do. So if it's anaphylaxis, we want you to administer your EpiPen to yourself or for somebody else to give it to you. If it is a minor reaction, then taking an antihistamine to treat that would be what we would advise.
So the same antihistamine that you take for hay fever, that will also work?
The non-drowsy ones, yes.
Okay, yeah, if you can find those ones that work.
Yes.
Yeah, oh my goodness. So are there any myths that surround food allergies that we're told that don't really work, or we shouldn't do because they don't work?
I think there's lots, actually, and I think there's a lot of anxiety around it more than anything else. I think the most important thing is to feed your children. it sounds very common, but there's so much anxiety. And what we want you to do is feed your children exactly what it is that you eat. And we want you to introduce all of those sorts of foods. There's actually a great website for parents who are concerned called Nip Allergies in the Bub. And that's a great website, really empowering, you know, people, and explaining to them how to introduce the food, because people are worried, you know, and then what to look out for, when to look out for, and what to do in the case of reactions. But feed your children, you know, that's the most important thing. Don't take food out of their diet. I think that's probably the other big thing, is people will specifically avoid foods. We know that that's actually the worst thing that you can do. So early introduction of solids, particularly of the high-risk solids like peanuts, eggs, all of those sorts of foods will decrease allergies. So that's probably the key message in terms of trying to decrease allergies. Managing your other allergic conditions. So if you have eczema, you know, managing your eczema and moisturising, absolutely. A lot of people think that eczema is caused by the allergies. And in the very young infants, babies, that can be the case, but it's hardly ever the case in older people. And they'll avoid big groups of food and put them at a really high risk of nutritional deficiencies. That's not good.
Oh my goodness, this has been such a great chat. Thank you so much, Dr. Tracy Marcus. She has been here talking to us all about food allergies. We've learned a lot. We're a little bit scared and a little not scared, and eat stuff, eat the dirt. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Eat the dirt. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Fitter, happier. We'll be back next Thursday at 10:30. You're tuned in to The Mag with Jane.